declare President Donald J. Trump incapable of executing the duties of his office.
That is what many U.S. lawmakers have in mind today. It's Wednesday, the 13th of January, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, the U.S. president distances himself from the attack on the Capitol. Hong Kong's leader accuses Western powers of hypocrisy. Red Cross and Red Crescent say COVID vaccines are not the immediate cure. And COVID has been found among gorillas at a U.S. zoo. That and more on today's VOA Asia. The U.S. House of Representatives is preparing to vote to impeach President Donald Trump this week, following the violent breach of the U.S. Capitol by the president's supporters that left five people dead. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports on Democrats' options for removing Trump just days before his term ends.
Just days after President Trump's supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol to stop the electoral vote count certifying President-elect Joe Biden's win, House Democrats are now acting to remove President Donald Trump.
Amendment to declare President Donald J. Trump incapable of executing the duties of his office.
Their first step? A resolution calling on Vice President Mike Pence and a majority of Trump's cabinet members to invoke the 25th Amendment in the next 24 hours, declaring the president unfit for office. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
If the vice president and cabinet do not act, the Congress may be prepared to move forward with impeachment.
Despite rioters' calls for his hanging for refusing to overturn the election results, Pence is not expected to take that step. A vote on impeachment instead could come as early as midweek.
We need angry patriots to fill the House.
Charging Trump with incitement of insurrection for his statements on his now suspended Twitter account and for remarks to supporters immediately before the January 6th Capitol riot. President Donald Trump.
And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
With a little over a week before Biden's inauguration, Democrats say they can act fast. Democratic Representative Ted Lieu.
This was all out in the open. This was open incitement of people to stop Congress from accepting the certified Electoral College results.
That would make Trump the first president in U.S. history to be impeached twice. George Washington University School of Law professor Paul Berman.
A sitting president inciting an insurrection against the United States government is perhaps the worst thing that a president could ever possibly do. That statement needs to be made. Second, and more pragmatically, if he were impeached and convicted, that would prevent him from running for office in the future.
There is some Republican support for congressional action holding Trump accountable for his actions. Republican Representative Adam Kinzinger.
I think the best thing for the country to heal would be for him to resign. The next best thing is the 25th Amendment.
But Democrats already have the votes for impeachment. They will likely wait to send the article over to the U.S. Senate until later this year. An impeachment trial would stop all other Senate business, hampering Biden's first 100 days in office with a new Democratic majority in both chambers. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence had what a senior administration official described as a good conversation at the White House Monday evening, marking the end of a silent period in their relationship after the riot at the Capitol. Brian Wood has more.
U.S. President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence have spoken for the first time since the riot at the U.S. Capitol. That's according to a senior White House official who says they had a, quote, good conversation Monday evening. It would also mark their first meeting since Trump slammed Pence for not challenging President-elect Joe Biden's Electoral College win. Trump encouraged his supporters to march to the Capitol while Pence presided over the certification process for Biden's victory. A source familiar with the situation said that Trump had not reached out to Pence to check on his safety when he was evacuated as the Capitol was being mobbed. The violence left 5 people dead, including a police officer. Some Trump supporters at the scene discussed assassinating Pence for being a traitor. The senior official says that when they spoke Monday, Trump and Pence discussed the riot and, quote, reiterated that those who broke the law and stormed the Capitol last week do not represent the America First movement. The vice president has resisted pressure from Democrats to invoke the 25th Amendment, which would remove Trump from office. The Democrat-controlled House of Representatives plans to impeach Trump on Wednesday unless he resigns. Impeachment charges accuse him of inciting violence against the United States.
That was Brian Wood reporting. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. China says a team of scientists from the World Health Organization will arrive this week in Wuhan to begin its investigation of the origins of the coronavirus pandemic. Officials in Afghanistan say they're investigating last week's counter-militancy airstrike that reportedly killed at least 18 civilians, including women and children. Rescue teams were racing to save 22 workers trapped underground for over 2 days after an explosion at a gold mine under construction in eastern China. The Japanese Prime Minister says he's considering extending a state of emergency further beyond Tokyo to curb the spread of COVID-19. India aims to inoculate 300 million people by July. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. President Donald Trump is taking no responsibility for his role in fomenting a violent insurrection at the U.S. Capitol last week. A Capitol police officer died from injuries suffered in the riot, and police shot a woman during the violence. 3 others died in what authorities said were medical emergencies. Speaking to reporters before traveling to Texas on Tuesday, Trump said his remarks to supporters last week were totally appropriate.
Well, if you read my speech, and many people have done it, and I've seen it both in the papers and in the media, on television, it's been analyzed, and people thought that what I said was totally appropriate. And if you look at what other people have said, politicians at a high level, about the riots during the summer, the horrible riots in Portland and Seattle and various other places, that was a real problem, what they said. But they've analyzed my speech and my words and my final paragraph, my final sentence, and everybody to the T thought it was totally appropriate.
Minutes before his supporters stormed the Capitol, Trump encouraged them to march on the seat of the nation's government where lawmakers were tallying electoral college votes, affirming President-elect Joe Biden's victory. Trump for months has also spread baseless claims that the November election was fraudulent, despite his own administration's findings to the contrary. As rioters were still in the Capitol, Trump released a video seemingly excusing the events, saying of the rioters, "We love you, you're very special." The attack on the U.S. Capitol has reignited criticism of social media and its alleged role in inciting violence. While Facebook and Twitter have banned President Trump, there are questions about the future of online speech. Tina Trin has more.
Last week's violence at the U.S. Capitol came after weeks of social media activity by President Donald Trump and others. Facebook was one meeting place. Jesse Larrick is the co-founder of Accountable Tech.
When you've got 3 billion people on a platform that is optimized for maximum engagement with no check from government, that's how we got where we are.
Social media giants such as Facebook, Twitter, and Snap responded by suspending or outright banning President Trump in some supporters' accounts. There's an effort to remove content such as the phrase "Stop the Steal," a rallying cry for those who say Trump really won the presidential election. Amazon Web Services, the web hosting provider for Parler, a conservative alternative to Twitter, took it offline, while Google and Apple banned the app from its app stores. Those who lost their digital perch are crying foul. Others say the shutdowns came too late and don't go far enough. There are renewed calls for laws on online speech and a push to reduce the power that tech companies have. Experts say more attention is needed as to what happens after so-called deplatforming.
That's the phase we're in right now, and it could be incredibly dangerous if we don't take that moment seriously.
Megan Squire is a professor at Elon University who studies the online activity of extremist groups.
It's not enough to just wash your hands of a person and say, well, they're not on my platform anymore. It really is what happens next.
And what happens next is pretty predictable, says Squire. Movement to alternative or alt-text sites like Telegram surged in the wake of mainstream sites' actions.
A couple of the channels that I was watching were growing at, 100 and 200%.
For the internet giants like Facebook, Google's YouTube, and Twitter, this should be their moment of reckoning, says Jesse Larrick, co-founder of nonprofit Accountable Tech.
Their tools have been recruiters in many ways for these extremist movements. And so it's not enough to take action on individual pieces of content or individual users even. Like, they have to grapple with the extent to which they've been a primary driving force of all of this.
As the U.S. continues to learn more about what led to the chaos in the nation's capital, questions remain about the future of speech online. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
Happening now in Asia, India's Supreme Court indefinitely places on hold three controversial farm laws that have triggered the biggest farmers' protest in decades. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Hong Kong's leader has accused Western powers of hypocrisy for condemning the siege on the U.S. Capitol after supporting pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong. At her weekly press briefing in Hong Kong on Tuesday, Carrie Lam defended the unprecedented mass arrest of opposition leaders last week.
Since June 2019, everybody has seen what has happened in Hong Kong. We have rampant violence and riots, undermining the safety of Hong Kong people, properties, and businesses. But some overseas commentators or politicians were sort of condoning or encouraging this sort of activities under the guise of democracy. But when the same thing seemed to happen in their own country, they immediately took a very different approach to condemn the violence, and some said that this was verging on sedition in American society.
55 Hong Kong opposition figures were arrested on suspicion of breaching the national security law by holding unofficial primaries ahead of the since-postponed Hong Kong election. The raids were the latest use of the national security law against the pro-democracy movement.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. India's foreign minister said Tuesday that trust with China had been deeply impaired after last summer's border clash, which resulted in the first combat deaths in 45 years. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. After a year of living in the coronavirus pandemic, Bangkok's most famous backpacker street can't avoid the economic impact caused by COVID-19. Normally, the street of Khao San is filled with tourists and local partygoers, especially on April 13th, when the water festival would take place. The festival was canceled in 2020 to prevent the spread of the virus. Sangha Ratanakul, president of the Khao San Business Association, believes the road to recovery could be a long one.
The best year that we can ever hit is about almost 40 million a year on the tourism. Okay? I think the best that we can get for this year, 2021, maybe 10 million. okay? So you have to wait another 2 more years to make the tourism come back as normal.
This did not stop 50-year-old Yutana Wang Thang from reopening his braiding shop he has been running for 20 years. Still, Wang Thang is uncertain if his business will be able to stay afloat.
If it continues to be like this for a while, we may have to move back to the countryside, to our hometown. There's no point in staying.
The future of when the city will return to pre-COVID is unclear, with outbreaks still occurring. Ma Baoli went from working as a police officer in a small coastal city in China to now owning one of the world's largest dating platforms for gay men. The dating app Blued went public last July, debuting at $85 million on NASDAQ. However, this was not Ma's original idea. Before the app, Ma started a lifestyle blog which expanded into an LGBTQ forum. After an increase in local media coverage, Ma left the police force in 2012 and launched Blued. Today, Ma says Blued has become the must-have software for people in the gay community who want to make new friends.
For most people, our platform is the only way to find their love. Not all of them, but for most of them, this is the case. So a lot of them can find their ideal partner.
With all the praise the app has received, the company still had its issues along the way. In 2019, the platform had to temporarily freeze new registrations after it was reported that minors had been using the app, and the company pledged to tighten age and content controls. As of today, the app has amassed over 58 million users in China and other countries, including India, Korea, and Thailand. It has yet to turn a profit, but company figures show losses have narrowed since the platform began paid memberships, live streams, and ads in 2016. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman. Happening in Asia, Japan's utilities Tuesday called on the public to save power as electricity generators resorted to using fuel oil instead of coal to meet surging demand for heating with frigid temperatures gripping much of that country. Stay with us for the latest news from and about Asia at voanews.com and all of our digital platforms. The International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies warn that COVID-19 vaccines are not a silver bullet, the magic cure that will end the pandemic overnight. The agency urges people to remain vigilant and to use preventive measures to protect themselves as the vaccination campaigns get underway. Lisa Schlein has more for VOA from Geneva.
COVID-19 vaccines are being rolled out in a number of countries around the world, giving rise to hopes that the pandemic will soon come to an end. The International Red Cross Federation's Director of Health, Emmanuel Capobianco, views vaccines as an important tool to stop this dreaded disease in its tracks. He tells VOA immunization drives are a matter of life and death, and that countries which have the vaccine must increase the speed and scale of inoculations.
We need to vaccinate more and more and more people and as fast as we can. For those countries that don't have the vaccine, it's important that there is a push from the international community to bring those vaccines in as fast as possible. While this happens, though, and we cannot wait for the silver bullet to arrive, and we need to take the precautions that can save lives.
He says these include basic preventive measures such as physical distancing, wearing masks, isolating when sick, and going into quarantine when coming in contact with an infected person. Capobianco says these actions are particularly important now as the epidemic is infecting and killing people at a rate not seen since the beginning of the crisis a year ago. He notes global cases are averaging 800,000 a day, including 15,000 deaths. He says these spikes appear in part to be driven by the emergence of two new COVID-19 variants in Britain and South Africa. He says the variants are more contagious than COVID-19 and more people are getting infected. Fortunately, he notes, the new strains do not appear to decrease the effectiveness of the vaccines. He says the new variants have now spread to more than 40 other countries, including in Africa.
That is something that will need to be watched very, very closely, because somehow Africa has been affected less than many had predicted by this pandemic so far, and we would hope that Africa could still see lower numbers of cases and deaths, but the indication is that numbers are increasing.
Capobianco says everyone should look forward to being vaccinated against COVID in the near future. In the meantime, he urges people to remain vigilant and protect themselves. He warns the entire world remains at risk from this disease until all countries receive the vaccines in a fair and equitable manner. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
We continue on VOA Asia. In what could be a first for the U.S. and the world, several gorillas at the San Diego Zoo test positive for the coronavirus. Correspondent Tim McGuire reports.
San Diego Zoo Safari Park Director Lisa Peterson says the members of the gorilla troop were tested last week for the virus that causes COVID-19.
We saw some mild symptoms that are similar to those that humans would experience.
Peterson says some of the gorillas have been coughing and that all are thought to be infected. She thinks they also know how they were exposed.
We suspect that the gorillas got this virus from an asymptomatic team member.
That worker, as well as all the others, suit up and mask up every time they're dealing with the animals in the park. Veterinarians are closely monitoring the gorillas, and they will remain in their habitat at the park. I'm Tim McGuire.
Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. Indonesian Navy divers searching the ocean floor have recovered a black box from a jet that crashed into the Java Sea over the weekend with 62 people aboard. Correspondent Charles Ledesma has the story.
Bagaimana pengalaman Anda ketika penerbangan?
A local TV station broadcasts footage of divers on an inflatable vessel with a large container holding the device heading to a Jakarta port. It's not immediately clear if the device was the plane's flight data or cockpit voice recorder. The recovery is expected to help investigators determine what caused the Boeing 737-500 plane to nosedive into the ocean in heavy rain shortly after takeoff from Jakarta on Saturday. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
In Japan, an annual Shinto ritual of soul purification this year included prayers for an end to the COVID-19 pandemic. Social distancing guidelines forced a much smaller gathering than in previous years, but as VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports, believers still turned out and stripped down for the annual observance.
Sunday in Tokyo, a handful of people gathered to take off their clothes and jump in icy water to perform a 66-year-old Shinto ritual at the Tepuzu Inari Shrine. Believers come to purify their souls, but this year they're also asking for an end to the COVID-19 pandemic.
I prayed that the coronavirus comes to an end as soon as possible. I also prayed that we could have ordinary, normal daily lives.
65-year-old Shinji Ui heads the shrine's parishioner group and also takes the plunge with the COVID-constrained community. This year, the pandemic shrunk the group size from more than 100 in 2020 down to a dozen, which means the water stayed exceptionally cold. Participant Naoaki Yamaguchi explained.
Normally, we have more participants, and it makes the water temperature a little bit warmer. But this year, there were just 12 people, so the coldness was crazy.
Even under a clear sky with sunshine, the temperature here is about 5 degrees Celsius. That means lots of warming up for this group dressed in traditional loincloths for men and thin white gowns for women before they immerse themselves in a tub of water laden with ice blocks. Organizers hold a ceremony every year on the second Sunday of January. This year's theme included warding off epidemics, and there were no spectators allowed. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. And find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Amy Heibel, Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.